Hi, Tane. How are you?
Hello, Nana. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yes, I'm exhausted. I'm not even gonna lie to you. But I just feel like that's a normal state of affairs for everybody. So I know I'm not special. Everyone is like, look, the year is winding down. People should stop asking anyone for anything. Let's all just pick it up again in January. So I'm just struggling through these last few weeks. But yeah, I hope you're also doing good. But yeah, I think it's a common thing.
All right, guys. So I know we did not get a chance to tell you what we decided for And Just Like That, but we decided that we're going to do it concurrently with our rewatch so we don't interrupt our watch. And so we will continue covering it. And as you guys know, today we're going to be covering season 4, episode 8. But on the other hand, we're going to have a separate episode that's going to cover And Just Like That. And look out for, and if you're subscribed already, you're already going to get the notification. But we'll have a highlight sort of conversation about for episode 1 and 2 of And Just Like That. Just wanted to let you guys know that we decided we'd just cover both of them. And you're welcome.
Yes. Obviously, we're not going to get as in-depth as our regular episodes, but we will hit on all the points. So, yes. So, yeah, like Tane said, if you have your notifications on, you will see that in your feed along with our regular episodes. And, yeah, so as Tane said, we're on episode 8 of the season, and it was called My Motherboard Myself. I hated this title. I don't know about you. I understood what they were going for, and it does make sense, but I just didn't like it. I don't know why. But yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I get where they were going as usual after you watch it, but also I'm just realizing it was My Motherboard Myself when you said it, because what I saw was My Motherboard Myself.
Okay.
So I was like, huh?
Yeah. But I just feel like they could have done better, but yeah.
It could have been like central nervous system or central something. I don't know.
Exactly. Anything but that.
Yeah.
So as usual, a brief recap for those of you who didn't get to watch the episode. Miranda's mother dies unexpectedly. Carrie's computer malfunctions and she loses all her work. And Samantha is unable to orgasm. I don't have an update for Charlotte because she didn't really have a storyline this episode. So yes. So as usual, we begin with all the women together. They all meet up for lunch. It looked like Central Park, or it was in a park, and they catch up on their lives. We find out that Carrie and Aiden have exchanged keys, so things seem to be going well and progressing with the two of them. Samantha pulls out a flyer for 1001 sexual positions because, of course, she bought it from a man on the corner for $1.50. And we find out that she's currently sleeping with a wrestling coach from NYU who is, you know, clearly more than able to execute the positions shown on the flyer.
I thought that was interesting, but I wanted to say at the park, you notice how crowded it was? It just seemed like, you know how it's cringy because we're using our COVID eyes, so to speak, to look at it. And it's just like, wow. But I was wondering if they hired, like, did they hire all of those extras just for that scene?
I feel like they did, because otherwise it'd be very obvious. Like, people would be trying to get into the show, paying attention. Do you know what I mean? I feel like they probably hired people for that scene.
That was a lot of people. But then it led me to my second thought, where it was like, regardless of where these girls are, and no matter how crowded it is, they always find seating.
Yeah. But honestly, they look like the kind Samantha would probably ask someone to get up and so they can sit together, and she'd flirt her way into it. I believe it. I actually buy that. Some people just have that gift. So, yeah, Carrie comes home. She comes back home to find Aiden cooking her fajitas in her previously untouched kitchen. And Carrie starts feeling him up. And then Aiden takes her to bed after declaring, fuck the fajitas. And I was like, oh, you two, how adorable. The calm before the storm. So we then see Carrie writing her column of the week as Aiden is reading over her shoulder. And she begs him to stop as she's not done yet. And her computer immediately malfunctions as she turns back to the column. And Carrie starts having a meltdown. And then she starts snapping at Aiden when he tries to help her by rebooting it, control or delete, you know, all that stuff. So they take it to a repair place and she snaps at him yet again when he tries to cheer her up. She's like being extremely bitchy to him. And I get it. She's stressed. And I'm like that to you. If I'm like going through, I just kind of want you to just leave me alone for a bit. But she's been extremely, extremely rude to him.
Yeah.
And the man at the repair shop notes that Aiden tried control alt delete, which only works for PCs. And then he says, oh, this is a Mac, you're not compatible. And then Carrie looks meaningfully at Aiden at this. And Aiden once again tries to lighten the mood. And Carrie is once again a complete bitch to him and says he's mortifying her in front of this random repair man. And I was like, what on earth is going on here? What did you think of this scene?
It just took me back to how she was treating him when she was cheating with Big.
Yes.
Just acting like his very existence irritated the hell out of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think Carrie's a child. I've said this before about her tantrums, and I just want to add that I make fun, half fun of Carrie that she's a writer and her job, and I put air quotes around it. But how are you a writer and you don't know about backing up? It just confused me because Aiden mentions it. She's being a bitch to Aiden. So it's almost like, why would you ask me that question? But then the repair guy asked the same question. Do you back up? And she's like, apparently everybody does this. How are you a writer and you don't know about this? Like, come on.
Literally, that was the next thing I was going to say, that we literally find out that she has never backed up her laptop. And literally, you deal in words. That's all you do is write. So you're telling me you don't even have your article saved on floppy disks? Do you know what I mean? Even me back then, when I was writing school essays in like primary school and secondary school, I had them saved on floppy disks. So why? I don't know. But it's
she's going to cure everything.
She probably thinks she can be cutesy enough to, you know, get her computer to come back and give her back all her essays. But actually, by her never backing up her stuff, it's a very carry thing to do. So, yeah, we find out that her computer has to stay behind for diagnostics. And the next scene, she's calling Miranda to complain about it. And we find out that Miranda has rushed to Philadelphia because her mother has had a heart attack. Carrie offers to come to Philly to be with her, but Miranda says she'll be fine.
I want to say, pro tip, if a situation like this happens, when your friend says she's fine, don't listen to her. Just do it, him or her. Just do something. Like, there's nothing more, like, in the times like this when they say they're fine or whatever, and especially you don't say, what can I do for you or something. I get it, but in something that's as dire as this, and knowing who Miranda is, she's not going to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't hurt for her to just go and go sit with her, especially since that's what Miranda, pretty much for the most part, does for her.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very fair. Very, very fair. If I had the means, I feel like I would have rushed to my friend's side, definitely. Even if it does end up being nothing and she's completely fine. Like, you can't... Actually, just like for a comparison, I don't know if any of you guys are viewers of Insecure. There was a similar situation where the main character's best friend's mother was also in hospital. And I feel like she did what I would like somebody to do for me, which is you just show up without being begged or asked. You come with food to make sure everyone's fed. Just being proactive and just being there, even if you're not, you know, is... you're not a doctor. There's nothing you can actually do to better the situation, but you can try and make everybody around as comfortable as possible. And I thought that was handled really well.
Yeah, especially since it was in Carrie's forte. She needed something to wear for the funeral. Like, that is Carrie's, like, I can get you something to wear. Like, just show up. So
she offered
because
brand of no, but yeah, okay. She should have just done it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like when Carrie called her to tell mm-hmm. her and complain about the computer malfunctioning and just going on and on and on and on, and then finally saying, "Where are you?" And Miranda's like, "Oh yeah, I'm in a hospital. My mom had a heart attack." Yeah. That is the epitome of their friendship. It's just always Carrie calling for something or one thing or the other, and then asking how they are afterwards. Like, there's mm-hmm. been so many times she's called Miranda, and it's like, okay, are you gonna ask Miranda how she's doing?
Mad, it's life. So yeah, we see a little vignette of Samantha, unsurprisingly, working her way through the 1001 sex positions with the wrestling coach. And then Miranda, we go back to Miranda. She calls Carrie to tell her that her mother unfortunately died, and she is absolutely distraught because, of course, in the moment that they all left the hospital just to catch a small nap, because everyone's like, "Oh, nothing's changed. Everything's the same. Just, you know, take a nap." She died alone, so she is extremely upset by that, of course. And Carrie offers to take her some clothes, and Miranda refuses and says she had no idea she'd be staying for a funeral and she'll just get something there. And like you said, Tane, I feel like, yeah, this would have been the time she should have gone to her immediately. But Aiden asks Carrie when the funeral is, as he'd like to go. And to me, it sounded like a lie, because she says she doesn't know, even though we just heard Miranda tell her that the funeral is going to be on Tuesday, you know? So mm-hmm. I didn't understand why she did that. So
yeah, I was going to ask you, I was like, I didn't understand why she was being weird with Aiden. Like, I don't even know what he did that was so...
Yeah, she's been like that literally aside from the very first scene where he's really nicely cooking for her. She's been a complete dick to him this whole episode, and I really don't understand why. Just like you said, like, he hasn't done anything. But yeah, it's because he's not big, clearly. So so she meets Charlotte and Samantha to tell them about Miranda's mother. And Carrie's upset because she feels she didn't say any of the right things, which is understandable. Wow. Because it's really hard, obviously, to know what to say when people are going through a loss and you are terrified of saying the wrong thing. And then you're like, oh, should I just not say anything? Should I say something? I get it. I feel like that's normal.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte and Carrie debate about whether they should send flowers or a fruit basket. And Samantha's literally just sitting there staring into space. And she's clearly affected by the news, but when they ask her if she's okay, she literally just goes, "Oh, I'm hungry." And I'm like, okay. I don't know. This was Samantha's storyline. I know we'll talk more about it, but I kind of didn't always understand what they were trying to do. But maybe you have different thoughts on it. So what did you think of the scene?
I didn't think anything, really. I thought it was weird. But like you said, we'll talk more about it. I was saving my thoughts overall when they close in on the storyline.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because, yeah, we'll get to it. Charlotte, we see her calling Samantha to finalize travel plans for the funeral. And Samantha is shocked that they expected to go. Like, what? As she thought they were just sending flowers. Anyway. And then we find out that she hasn't even called Miranda yet to, like, offer her condolences. Nothing. And instead, she calls the wrestling coach, and we get shots of them trying position after position after position. And Samantha is all of a sudden unable to orgasm. So the three of them meet up at the florist. Charlotte, I don't know why I keep wanting to call her Samantha. Charlotte is being a typical, you know, Martha Stewart, like, giving instructions about what basket should look like, the flowers should look like, etc., etc. And Samantha tells them all that she's lost her orgasm. And Carrie and Charlotte say that it happens sometimes. And of course, Samantha's like, not to me. And she says, when I RSVP to a party, I make it my business to come. Which I think is a famous line from Sex and the City. Actually, I was going to say at the top of the episode, I really remember this episode for some reason. I don't know if I've caught it, like, maybe in the last few years when it was on TV, but I don't know why, but I actually remembered everything that happened in this episode. I don't know what happened to me, but it did. Even that line. So Charlotte says that sex can still be great without an orgasm, but neither Carrie or Samantha are buying it. I want to take a pause here. What did you think of that? Because I actually agree with Charlotte.
Yeah, I agree with Charlotte. Because okay, if that's the case, I mean, it's general knowledge that a lot of women can't come through regular intercourse. So, I mean, we're going to say like, oh, it's not enjoyable. I mean, the act of itself is already a pleasurable experience. It can be bad. But, I mean, yeah, I think you can. I think she's right. Or I agree with her. Let me put it out.
Exactly. Because I feel like they were so quick to dismiss it. And I was like, huh? And I actually remember a couple of years ago, I was having a conversation with a really good friend of mine, a male friend. And I told him that I don't always have to orgasm, like, every time I have sex. And he was like, but why? Like, why would you? And I'm like, no, like, it goes beyond that. I feel like sex can also be a tool for intimacy. Do you know what I mean? Or if you're having, like, a bunch of sex, I'm fine if I maybe have one orgasm. It's not like I have to orgasm every single time. Like, if you know what I mean? If you're having, like, rounds of sex, I'm actually perfectly fine with that. Sometimes I don't even want to orgasm more than once. And he was finding it really hard to understand what I was telling him. But I'm glad I feel like we're on the same page, because I'm like, I know I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that Samantha thought that way, because we've gotten to the point where they make Samantha have this random ass beliefs and go from anywhere. Where I was surprised was Carrie agreed with her.
Yes, very quickly.
Like, girl, get out of here with your bra on sex.
Oh, poor Carrie. But yeah, so Carrie tries her best to give Samantha a pep talk by asking if she was on top. And Samantha asks why it matters. And Charlotte is shocked that she can orgasm when she's not on top.
Let me tell you that. Sorry, sidebar. White girls love being on top.
I'm too lazy for that. Okay?
That's their go-to. Like, even every TV show that you see, it's always like white girl on top. And I'm just like... Compare that to the black shows. Not that there are no black girls on top, but it's just more...
That's interesting, actually. The portrayal is usually different. I don't think it's like that in real life, to be honest with you. But you're right. If that's how they show it on TV, you're actually completely... Yeah. Huh, interesting. Subliminal messaging. But like I said, I'm not woke. Retired woke person. So Samantha says top, bottom, upside down, whatever has never mattered to her. And Carrie says, okay, now you're just showing off. Because you know Samantha's going to come. Whatever way she's going to make, she makes it her business, like she said, to come. So Charlotte then says she once heard of a woman who was having orgasms all around the clock, and then they stopped all of a sudden as if she'd used them all up. And I was like, okay, Charlotte. So Samantha is horrified, of course. And she says that's the meanest thing Charlotte's ever said to her. That made me laugh. I feel like life opportunities to exist for her. I know, right? What was the point?
What was the point of saying that, though? Like, it was just like timing, Charlotte. Come on.
I feel like, I told you, sometimes there's a weird dynamic between the two of them. Almost like Charlotte is, well, not almost. I feel like Charlotte is resentful sometimes of like how easy she is with sex. But then she, of course, also is secretly thinks she's a slut as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that war sometimes surfaces. And I think that was one of the times, because like you said, what was the point? So we go back to Miranda, who is shopping for the funeral. She's bra shopping, I should say, because apparently you have to have a black bra to wear with a black dress. But yeah, when an extremely pushy sales assistant called Lucille tells her that she's the wrong size, and she's like, no, go try this on. So Miranda's trying, after arguing with her, she's like, whatever, she goes and tries it on. And then Lucille forces her way into the changing room when she's trying on the bra to like see how it fits. And Miranda's like, do you mind? I told you I'm fine. And then she snaps at her, and then all of a sudden she breaks down because she realizes that she'll never have the chance to argue with her mother again, because that's how her mum was with her. And then she tells Lucille that her mother just died. And Lucille gives her like a really nice motherly hug. And then we get a voiceover from Carrie saying that it was just the support Miranda needed for that moment. I just, yeah, it was a nice touch because you do be crying in front of strangers at the worst times. So what did you think of that scene?
I thought it was cute. I wanted to say I've never cried in front of strangers, but but I understand because you never know because it's still so raw. It literally yes. just happened. I was going to yes. say, like, I accuse Carrie of having a lot of outbursts, but Miranda have those too.
Oh, she yeah,
has a lot of those too.
I actually think Miranda's also very dramatic. Like, honestly. Because I feel like she's always, yeah, she's always freaking out about something. Probably just yeah. as much as Carrie. But she is very dramatic. Yeah. yeah.
I think Carrie's is usually almost always about a guy, but mm-hmm. Miranda's is always like a transfer aggression type thing. Like exactly. something else is really the issue, and then uh-huh. she's just or taking she it out.
She's been wronged in some way, so she calls Carrie to rant about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed was that when she was putting her bra on, she put the bra on hooking it from behind. And I just mm-hmm. want to know who does that.
A lot of people do that. Okay, do you know, I'm not even shitting you. Today, as I was putting on my bra, I remembered because I always hook mine at the front and then turn it around. And I'm not yeah. lying. It was literally just today because I saw a tweet like a couple of years ago, which intermittently just pops into my head when someone was like, oh, if you still clip your bra to the front and twist it around, you're childish, grow up. And it made me laugh at the time. And I remember there were so many comments and it was very split. Some people put their arms in the straps first and then hook it up from behind, just as Miranda was doing. People do put their bras on that way. Mm-hmm.
I've never even done that.
No, people just really do. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try it. I have a sprained wrist right now, so I can't even yeah. turn or twist my wrist, but I'm gonna try and see if that's even. How do you even know how to put the hook? I guess I don't have the patience. But some people just do it on the first try.
Yeah. No, people really do. I don't know. I might even do a poll on this episode. If you guys listen on Spotify, I might add a poll. But then you clip your bra, put your arms on first. So if you clip it and then turn it around. But yeah, I was surprised too. But people really do put it on like that. Well, according to that thread I saw. So we go back to Carrie, who goes back home, and Aiden has bought her an entire new MacBook and a zip drive so she can actually start backing up her work. Okay, side note, I feel like people don't call it a zip drive anymore. Maybe then. Wouldn't you just call it like a hard drive?
Now?
Like a portable hard drive. Yeah, what do you call it?
I actually thought what he bought was like a floppy disk, but I call it a hard drive.
Yeah, okay. I just feel like don't ever hear people calling it a zip drive anymore. But anyway, I could just...
Isn't the engineering or the mechanics of it different now?
Well, he bought her hard drive, basically.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the MacBook and the portable hard drive that they were calling a zip drive.
Got it.
Yeah. Sorry, it just jumped out to me because I was like, I don't think I hear that anymore. So yeah, instead of being appreciative that her boyfriend literally went out of his way to replace, I know obviously you're upset it's getting fixed, but he bought you a whole new one because your whole job is writing. She is very upset and once again super bitchy to him that she doesn't know how to use a zip drive. She has her own system. Blah, blah, blah. And then she tells him that she's not ready for a new computer. She doesn't like the color because she's still waiting to hear back about the old one. And then she's like, my whole life was on that computer. And Aiden finally, because this man has the patience of a saint, because she has been bitching to him like for a while. So he finally gets super, super, super pissed off. And he takes off her house key from his chain because he basically accuses her of not letting him in, which she isn't. She's pushing him out. And she's like, I gave you a key. Like, what more do you want? And he's like, you must be kidding me if you think this actually means anything when you're like constantly shutting me out. So he takes off her keys from his keychains, slams them on the table and leaves. And I wanted to clap for him because I would have done that way earlier. So, yeah. Sorry, yeah. You were about to say something. Mm-hmm.
No, Carrie's a fuckboy. Like, Carrie treats Aiden exactly how Big treated her. Uh-huh. And it's like, you went through this whole speech of how you allegedly missed Aiden, loved Aiden. Now the chase is over. You missed him so much that you're not letting him in. Like, yeah. What's your agenda? Make it make sense.
Thank you. That's what I keep saying. Like, Aiden, I remember last episode when I said I've used up all my feelings. Sorry for Aiden, because I honestly don't feel sorry for him anymore because he chose this. He knows what she is. And he voluntarily chose to go back. So, yeah. And I don't get it. This can't be that long after they've reunited. Why is she already, like, sick of his presence, you know? I don't understand these.
She doesn't like the color, and she's waiting for the old one. She's waiting mm-hmm. for Big. I mean, I'm sure that's what they meant, because they're very on the nose in this show.
Yeah, they do not do nuance, which is, again, why I was confused by Samantha's storyline. But speaking of Samantha, she's in the bath trying to get herself off. She's like pouring the water on her vag, and then she tries basically every dildo, vibrator, you name it, that she owns. She's still unable to orgasm, and Charlotte calls her in the middle of one of her sessions and to ask her if she's called Miranda yet, and she says she doesn't want to bother her right now. And then she reminds her that she told her not to call her because she'd be masturbating all day. And she's literally, we get shot after shot after shot of this. And by nightfall, we find out that she's called off the search party. She's given up because she still can't come. And I still don't know what they're trying to say here. Because I'm like, you can't even call your friend to offer condolences. This is what's more important to you at this moment. I don't know. I found it very disappointing. But yeah. So Carrie returns to the computer place to pick up her laptop. And of course, they're not really able to recover anything of her actual old writings. And he says he can replace her motherboard and actually tells her that she needs to start backing up her shit, because why wouldn't you think to do that as a writer? And then Carrie is dressed up for the funeral, and she looks really nice, actually, in a nice, well, obviously black dress. And she calls Aiden. Mm-hmm.
Why were her boobs pushed up to the max?
Yeah, she still looked nice. It's better than what Samantha was wearing, which we'll see a bit later. she calls Aiden as she's about to leave for Philly, and she actually apologizes to him. But of course, with Carrie, she doesn't come out with an apology immediately. She tries to cutesy her way out of it. And I actually liked how he handled it, because he's like, yeah, like, what do you want? He's not going to make it easy for her, basically. So she tells him that she's basically afraid of getting used to relying on him. And then if things fall apart, in my head, I was thinking, when things fall apart, that she's going to be, like, she's not going to know how to handle it. Which, you know, is life, so... And then Aiden makes a really bad dad joke that if they split, there'd be a couple of sad Macs. And I'm just like, oh, whatever. So, yeah, they, I guess, worked out their issues. So we see the women arriving at the church in Philadelphia. And like Tane said, yes, they're all very sexily dressed, apart from Charlotte, who's very appropriately dressed. Samantha's got cutouts on her shoulders and a low top. A black dress. And then Miranda finally arrives, and then Carrie and Charlotte give her like really nice comforting hugs. She's clearly still upset, but all Samantha can do is stare at her awkwardly and says, "You look great." And then they all look at her like horrified. She's like, "What?" She does. And Miranda says she's fine, but everyone is freaking out about her being single and not walking behind her mother's casket with someone else, because everyone else is paired up. And I was like, I know this is Sex and the City and it's like a running theme, but I really wish they'd left that for this episode, that line. Because I'm like, so even now, I doubt in real life people would actually be that concerned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
About whether she's with someone or not, like, in that occasion. And I know, like, it's part of the show, what they're trying to do. But I always think of what you say, Tane, with the messaging. So always subtle messaging, you know what I mean? I just feel like they should have that for now. But yeah. Yeah.
I will say this, though. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but mm-hmm. I know when we had a death in the family and they were informing everyone, they were informing everyone's partners, and they were so concerned about me because at the time I was single. So they were not going to tell me because I didn't have a second person to comfort me. So they were trying to figure out how I was going to be told. But everybody,
but I feel
else,
it was different, right? It was out of concern for how you'd handle it, right? Because they didn't want you to be alone when you found the news.
Okay,
or no?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
They did not feel like that.
I mean, yeah, I think, no, that makes sense. I think that's a concern, but I think my thinking is, I'm going to find out either way. I'm not going to magically have a partner. So
no, it makes sense. It makes sense.
So I don't get it. So the same with Samantha is, I'm sorry, the same with Miranda is like, everyone has someone, like, you know, holding you up. Maybe it's metaphorical, whatever. As you walk behind the casket, like, you know, in your grief, there's someone holding you up.
Yes.
So, yeah, but in this case, they're just worried that you're going to be walking by yourself and it might hit you because you're literally in front of the casket and all of that stuff. I'm giving a lot of benefit to her family.
I know, so you're being so kind. You are being so kind.
But yeah,
because the way she said it, it was literally about, oh, where's your husband? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
But yeah, but I feel like let me give another example. I remember a few years ago, when I was living in Atlanta, my cousins, she's not, you know, this is like African version of cousin, she's probably like my third cousin or whatever. Like, her dad passed away, and she was super, super, super close to her dad. And they called from Ghana and told my mom. And then my mom called me and she was like, I couldn't call and tell her. Do you know what I mean? Because she was at home alone. So she told me to, like, basically go get her, like, just bring her to the house because she didn't want her to be alone when she found out the news. Do you know what I mean? So I'm thinking maybe, like, in your situation, that's what people are thinking, because there is some traumatic news that if you know somebody lives alone or they don't have people around them. And like you said, the news is not going to change. It's still going to be awful, whether they hear it now or like in a few hours time or the next day's time. But there's some news that you would really want someone to be around them when they hear, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But with this scene, I got the feeling that that's not what they were going for, even though you do have a more charitable reading. So, where was I? So, yeah, during the service, the minister keeps getting the names of everyone wrong. He keeps referring to Miranda as her brother's wife instead of, like, a sister. It was just all wrong. Miranda's clearly, like, annoyed and pissed. And Samantha is sitting there looking bewildered that people are crying around her. She looks so uncomfortable, like, why is everyone crying? And Carrie's understandably pissed on behalf of her friend because it's annoying. Like, it's already bad enough that this is such a sad occasion. And then, you know, small, small things are, like, adding to, like, the injustice. So she can't even get the details right, all of that. And then Miranda turns, once again, the priest refers to her as the wife of her siblings instead of an actual child of her mother. And she turns, Miranda turns around and looks at the row where her friends are sitting. And she locks eyes with Samantha. And then Samantha finally says, I'm sorry. Like, she mouths it to her. And Miranda mouths back, thank you. And then Samantha starts to cry and cry and cry. I actually like that touch, but I feel like it would have made a bit more sense if I understood what they were going for. I do actually want to discuss Samantha a bit more. I feel like if Sex and the City was a different type of show, would have gotten a bit more of either a backstory as to why Samantha was finding it so hard to connect. And obviously not everybody does well with death. And clearly that's what I think they were going for, but the execution was poor. And it's clearly linked to her not being able to orgasm as well, because she's finding it difficult to process, you know? But she's so typically Samantha that she has to be blasé and brash about everything. So she's trying to power through and act like it's just a minor blip, you know?
Yeah.
What did you think about it?
I agree. I think you've said everything that I thought. I just didn't think they did a good job of explaining why Samantha was uncomfortable, why Samantha lost her orgasm, why she was very not able to call Miranda saying we have to go to the funeral, because that's such a duh moment. Of course you do. So it would have been good. And I don't even think it has to be another show. I understand that Sex and the City has its lazy writing, but the least they could do for this was just kind of connect the dots.
Exactly.
But it segues into the other thing of, I understand they always wanted to keep the focus on here, except, I mean, when I say here, I mean the four women, except when it comes to Miranda, because Miranda is like their scapegoat for everything. Because I found it interesting that, as a sidebar, we're four seasons in, and we have no mention of Carrie's family. Like, not even a mention, not even a, I have a brother, or I have a sister, there's nothing.
So Charlotte, we brought this up before. Now, I was saying Charlotte, we brought it up before, that is weird that we literally never hear anything about Carrie's family.
Yeah. So Charlotte, we've heard about the brother. Samantha, I guess we haven't, but in passing, she's mentioned something. And then Miranda, we hear a lot about, and it's just, you know, part of, I guess if they had touched on it, they have to mention Samantha's family. But the writers, again, have this weird obsession of wanting to keep the focus on just the four women. But it's also strange. But we also have to accept that a lot of Sex in the City is not exactly realistic. So,
yes, you're 100% right. Because I think even Samantha, the only time I remember her mentioning any family was, there's just that episode where she had the flu and she was like to make some medicine or whatever that her mum used to make. Literally, that's the only time I've ever even heard her mention family. And yeah, it's not realistic at all. Even people who don't have good relationships with their family, if you guys are that close, they may mention it once in a while. Do you know what I mean?
It's just
weird.
It is. So, but I also agree that that scene where she turns around and she says, I'm sorry, and all that kind of stuff, I thought it was really good. But it was also what just took me over the edge. Like, the whole episode was already triggering for me personally. But the minute she said, I'm sorry, the same way it unlocked for her, I just lost all of it.
I cried as well. I just thought it was so sad. Like, everything was just so sad. And also well acted as well. Like, Cynthia Nixon killed it in this episode. It was just so sad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, it can't have been an easy watch at all. And then this scene I also really liked. So they're walking down the aisle after the service. Miranda's walking behind her mother's casket, and she is walking alone while everyone else is paired up, like, in front and behind her. And she breaks down and starts sobbing, and Carrie rushes over to her and holds her hand so she's not alone in the aisle. I feel like how she could have done that in the beginning. Like, be like, I'll be the one that walks with you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was really nice to see, like, actually giving her physical and emotional support. And then as they're walking down, you see the camera pan to the pews again, and Steve and Aiden have come, which I thought was lovely and also very realistic. And then literally, I'm even like getting emotional thinking about it now, but it was just a sad episode. And it was really nice that she had people there to like come and support her, you know? Because I think it's realistic that Steve and Aiden would want to be there, you know?
She's lost her mother. Unlocking levels in a game. When I'm saying, like, when Samantha said, I'm sorry, that was level one. I started sobbing. Yeah. Then when Carrie just went out and kind of, like, to me, it was, like, literally lifting her, because she was drooped. Like, you know, just when she was sobbing and everything and just holding her, level two. Then I saw Steve and Aiden. I was just like, what is this episode trying to do to me?
It was really sad. It was. I'm sorry. It was sad.
I'm not going to lie. I was so glad that this was the episode that you were going to recap because I would not have made it.
I know.
Yeah.
It was not an easy watch. Oh, yeah. I'm 100% there with you. And yeah. So the episode ends with Carrie typing away. She's back in her apartment and she says, after all, computers crash, people die, relationships fall apart. The best we can do is breathe and reboot. And when that fails, a zip drive can provide a surprising amount of comfort. And so can a boyfriend if you can learn to let him in. And then we see Aiden coming, like entering her apartment. I guess he's got the key back. And that's how the episode ends, basically, of what was it called? My motherboard herself. Yeah.
We should add that she was typing on the new computer that she was given. Okay.
Yeah. No, she wasn't. Yeah, she wasn't. It was her old black computer, but she was using the new zip drive that Aiden had got her.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they couldn't salvage.
Because he bought her, it was blue and white, the new one, because the old computer was black. Because I thought they were trying to say, like, they'd basically compromised. That she stole.
I thought they couldn't salvage her computer in that she couldn't even open the system to type it.
No, he said he was going to replace her motherboard, remember? She'd lost all her items. He's like, replace the motherboard. And then he types it up and he's like, ooh, it's going to cost you. Do you still have your warranty?
Okay.
And then that's the scene ended. Mm-hmm.
I believe you, Nana. After the funeral scene, I wasn't there. So yes, I was just this show better be ending. This better be ending because I believe you.
I want it over. I understand. No, because I really think that's what they were trying to say, that she still accepted help, as in using his zip drive, but she still had her computer because that's what she wanted, her comfort, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I will double check. If I'm wrong, I'll come back and say I'm wrong. But I'm 99% sure it was her black computer.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, because you can't miss the blue. Unless you're me, so.
Yes, so silly. Yeah, so that's how the episode ended. Did you have anything else to add?
No, it wasn't. I'm just glad this was a really good episode. You know, usually we say, you know, was episode, and you know, me and my big mouth, I'm always like, the more realistic, the better. So yeah. It was too real for me this time, but it was a really good episode. It was very well acted, and I don't know if I want to congratulate them for still finding a way to include the sex in this episode with Samantha, but they fumbled the bag, as the kids would say, with the Samantha storyline, because they could. Yeah. It's almost like they're allergic to giving her depth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one thing to not want to give her depth, but to like actively avoid it, it's kind of like, wow, okay.
They're so, really, you know, interested in forcing her into one particular box. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I noticed that too, actually. I was like, I feel like they'll die if they have a fully serious episode. They still need, you know, some of the comedy, but I wasn't laughing. I'll be very honest with you. But yeah, it was lots of tears. It was a sad episode. It really was. But I thought it was a good episode though. It was very well acted. All around.
Yeah.
So, yes, Tane, can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yes, you can find us at The Rewatch Times 2. That's TheRewatchX2. And that's our handle on Instagram, our handle on Twitter. If you'd like to send us an email, just add@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. If you have any questions, if you want to hear our opinions and stuff, let us know. Hit us up in one of those mediums.
Yes. And as Tane said again at the top of the episode, don't forget to look out for our recaps of And Just Like That, and it'll be in the same feed that you're listening to us now. So keep an eye out for it coming your way soon. And we ask that wherever you listen to us, please give us a 5-star rating if possible. Don't forget to leave a comment if you have anything to say as well. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and we hope to see you next time. Bye.